All right. Hey, have you guys ever noticed that Scripture tells us to over-deliver? God's kids are commanded to go above and beyond what we would normally consider to be good. We are told to over-deliver. In Matthew 5:41, we're told this: if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. That's over-delivering. That's going above and beyond. Forgive those, Scripture tells us, who are not even sorry. That's going above and beyond. In Philippians 2:14, it says this: do everything without grumbling or arguing. Everything? That is way above and beyond. That is way over delivering. It would be way better if we did some things without grumbling or arguing. But Jesus' direction to us all the time is to over-deliver. What does over-delivering do? It adds value. What does add value mean? It means to do more than what you're compensated for. Why? Because that reflects what God does. We are imitators of God. We are His children. He says this in Matthew 5:45, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Why? Because He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He over-delivers. It'd be great if He just sent the rain on the righteous, but He gives the rain to the unrighteous too. He over-delivers. He adds value. He's not compensated for giving rain to the evil and giving rain or blessing the unrighteous. There's no compensation in that for Him. But He does it. And He tells His kids to do the same thing. Why? Because if you do baseline is I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. I'll do the bare minimum. Many of us go to work and we do baseline. Hey, they should be happy. We oftentimes think they should be happy because we showed up on time. We think, hey, then we do the bare minimum for the wage. See, you don't get anything for baseline. That's what the world does. He says you guys are to add value to the world. You over-deliver to the world because it causes something in them. It stands out. Jesus said, when I go to the cross, when they lift me up on the cross, I will draw all men to me. Why? He over-delivered. He died for us. That's an over-deliver. That rocks people's world. God is all about the over-delivering. The world is all about, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. I give a little bit. What does it mean at work? Well, if you're paid to make 10 widgets at work, and you make 10 widgets at work, you're of no value to the company. They can get anybody to do that. If you're paid to make 10 widgets and you make 14 widgets, you have now added value to that company. And guess what? It gets returned to you. It's the law of giving and receiving. And I'm talking about time, talents, and treasures. I'm not just talking about money. The most valuable thing you have is time. You hear it, everybody talks about it. So busy, I have no time. Time. When you give your time to God, you get time. We're going to be looking at that today. What's the value? Because why we've been doing this series on empty. And when God made Adam and Eve, starting at the very beginning, He told them to fill the earth, which indicates that there's emptiness going on. It isn't quite the way it's supposed to be. You don't fill something that's already full. We spoke about God giving us the full life. Why? Because we have an empty life. We talked about our wallet, the empty wallet. Why? Because we don't know how to handle our finances and what God does give us. So we talked about that God wants to give us the fullness of life, a holistic life that is full. But the philosophy and the principle behind that is we are to be givers. It's an interesting, crazy phenomenon. And Jesus gave his men a lesson in this one day. And the ladies, whoever was hanging. In Luke 17:3, he says this. So watch yourselves. He's talking to his disciples, so check yourself out. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Okay, give and take. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. He says, listen, this is baseline. Because how often do we think we forgave somebody? Oh, wow! I am amazing! I forgave them. He says, listen, somebody goes, and then in another place he says, even if they ain't sorry, forgive them. See, because that's not the world. The world baseline is, you do me wrong, I do you wrong. You do me right, I do you right. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Then he goes on to say this, listen. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. They said, God, that is so heavy. Increase our faith to be able to forgive somebody that asked for repentance, that asked for forgiveness. He says, God, we can't even do that. We need more faith. And Jesus looked at him, and he says this to him. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, he goes, if you have tiny faith, I'm going to give you a metaphor here. You can say to a mulberry tree, which is a pretty big tree, he says, you can say to that tree, move, and it will. He goes, I'm asking you to just do baseline. You guys are asking like I'm asking you to do the biggest thing in the world that you need so much more faith to do that. This is so heavy. He looked at him, he goes, what? He goes, if you have this much faith, you can do that. He says, and it will obey you. Then he gives them an example. He says, hey, listen, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Let me give you an example. Suppose you got a servant, guys and gals, his people, and their job, baseline job, taking care of the sheep. It's agricultural society, typical servant job. He says, will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field after doing his job, come along now and sit down to eat. In other words, hey, cozy on up to the table. You were dynamite today. He says, won't he rather say, prepare me my supper, get yourself ready and wait on the table while I eat and drink. And after that, you may eat and drink. That's harsh. He says, hey, if you're the servant and you come in from serving, that's baseline. You don't get a big reward for that, to come and sit with the master and eat and drink at the master's table and have a good time like you accomplished something. He's talking to his guys and gals. He just told them, you need to forgive. And they said, we need more faith to be able to do that. He goes, dude, that's baseline. Let me tell you about it. He says, this is baseline. Then he says this. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? He did his job. He's supposed to be thankful for that. So you also, talking to them, when you have done everything you were told to do, because you said you're my servants, you should say this. We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Ouch! Let's go on to Luke's, a different chapter. That is not a comfortable thing right there. He says, listen, you're expected to do baseline. I can't tell you how many men and women I talk in the office and you know, tell me about their marriages and this and that and all this stuff. And it's like, well, you know, you get the marriage you make. If you got a lousy marriage, guess who made that? You did. You want to do something? Well, hey, compared to my dad, I'm doing way better. It's like, well, we ain't talking about your dad. And your dad's baseline, pretty low. Then your dad got what your dad got because he did that. Because oftentimes we compare ourselves to somebody else's baseline. It's like, listen, Jesus is saying, compare yourself to my baseline. Because you don't add value till you go above baseline. That's where the value comes in. That's where you represent yourself as God's child. If you walk around forgiving those who hurt you and you don't complain and grumble about everything, that's a mind blower to the world. And he says, you're not even really going above board on that stuff. When you give your time and your resources, if you give money and you tell people, yeah, I give 10% of my income to the church. Teresa's dad used to laugh at me. He goes, are you crazy? Look at the place you live in. You could use that money for, you know, and he starts telling me all this stuff. And it's like, he don't get it. I don't live by your standards. Alex, you're not my baseline. You're not the guy you're not the guy. I appreciate you and I love you, but you're not the one I'm governing my life after. Your standard, if I go by people's standard, I'm up, down, all around. How about you? People are more than willing to tell you what your baseline should be. Some of us have been told that forever. You'll never amount to nothing. I can meet that. Listen, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Look at in Luke 6:27, he says, but to you who are listening to what I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. That's above baseline. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. That's way above baseline. Bless those who curse you. I don't know how many of you guys came back. Pretty much every man I talked to that went to the retreat came back, and as soon as they got down the hill, the enemy was choking them out. And you think that was anything real? That didn't work. That's not going to, it's a normal procedure. I forgot. I don't know if I told them or not, but I forgot to tell them that when you go down the hill, the enemy's going to try to rob, because that's what he does. He always wants to rob us down to baseline. And God wants to give us an abundant life. So he says, this is how I do it. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Isn't that crazy if someone were to steal your coat? And you go, wait. It's a Pendleton. You'll like that. Oh, yeah, button it up to the top. Yeah, that's the way we wear it. He says, give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's way above baseline. That's where the reward comes in. It started back in Genesis 1:28 when God blessed them, it says. When he made Adam and Eve, he blessed them. When you bless someone, that means you add value to them. You bless them. Many of you in here, after you come in and God starts doing things in your life, and then you say, oh, God bless me in this arena. Oh, God bless me with this car. Oh, God bless me with this job. What you're saying is God added value to you. He added value to you when you didn't even respect him. He kept you alive. He's got a value he adds to you. So every time you say bless, the word means to add value. So it says God added value to Adam and Eve. He had already made them. And he tells them this. He said to them, be fruitful and increase. You're to increase. You're to add value to this planet. You're to populate it. You're to travel. You're to move around. You're to add value to it. He says, look at, and increase in number, and then fill the earth. There's the word. Fill the earth. The earth is empty. There's an empty place in it. He wants us, you, in our generation, we get to fill this earth. Make it better. Add value to the empty places. And then he says this. Rule over. Take care of it. The fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground. You're to have dominion. You're to take and honor it. Make it better. That's what God's kids do. And this is the crazy thing. You don't have to have massive skills. You just got to look at everything and go, what can I do to add value here? How can I add value to my marriage? How can I add value to my job? How can I add value to this person? See, you don't even have to have skills. You just have to be willing to give. That's the beauty of adding value. Everybody can do it. And everybody that is a child of God is expected to do it. That is baseline. So, there are three universal reasons for working. Every one of us and everybody in the world works. They are looking for jobs. And whenever you talk about any country or any nation or any people group, they are always looking for work. They need to work. Why? Well, the first reason is to survive. People work to make their basic living needs. Number one, if you want universal reasons for working, everybody has number one. Number one reason to work. Number one reason you get up every day, meet your bills. Pay your rent, pay your mortgage, whatever that stuff is, you're meeting that need. Fewer people do the second one, which is work to save. What does that mean? That means some people work to save and go beyond their basic needs and expand their lives. They have a vision for their life that if I save money, I could buy a house. If I save money, I could get a car. If I save money, I can do this and do that. Fewer people do level two. Everybody does level one. If you're living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, you're in survival mode. That's why a lot of us turn to substances and other things, because in our mindset, it was always about paycheck to paycheck. I'm working to survive. When I drove the beer truck and I looked at these older dudes, and guys were waiting until they had their 30 years in so they could retire. It was like, oh my God, is that what life is? Shoot me now. I cannot get high enough to do my life that way. There was no purpose to it. I didn't get it. And I saw my dad die at 49, and I've shared it before. He worked 6 days, sometimes 6.5 days a week. And it was like, and you died at 49? I respect my dad, and he came from the generation that was drilled into their heads. And it was like, oh my gosh, there's got to be more. You know, nobody, when my dad died, you know what his partner told me? He said, Joe, you should go in the military. What I heard was, you need to get out of here. My mom had 8 kids, so she was, up to here in life. I get it. She's a saint. She's amazing. She raised them all with him gone and kept the house. She did it. I honor her. But no one ever sat down with me and taught me how to do a checkbook. No one ever sat down with me and said, you know what, here's a good plan for your life so that you can expand your life. There was no input into my life in that arena. I didn't get it. I didn't know there was even stuff. I thought people just made more and more money and somehow it happened. And, I don't know. It was all blurry to me. And then he tells me to go into the military. It's like, you know what? When I was at that age, I already had my draft card. They were, this was Vietnam. This was not a popular war. This was a night. You want me to go from this to that? Everyone I know is protesting. It was gnarly times for those of you over 30 that were around at that time. It was like, that wasn't even a good option. The option you give me sucks. And then there's the last reason people work, and that's to serve. People serve to make a contribution to the world around us. Guess which of the three groups are the happiest? Number three, the most successful people in the world do something that benefits others. It becomes their focus. My life changed when I got sober, found the Lord, and said, this is what I want to do. I want to help dudes like me. That became, I want to leave the world better than I found it. I want to add, I didn't know at the time, I didn't know the words add value, but I want to add value to this world. I found it. I added destruction to it, starting with myself. But those are the people that are the most successful in the world. Because if number one worked, then the people with the most money should be the happiest people in the world. And you know what? They often aren't. You read about them all the time, got all this money and miserable, kill themselves. And if the second level is, if I expand the most and have the most stuff and expand my life, then they should be the happiest people in the world. And you look around and you go, well, they're not either. The people that have the most are not the ones running around and dancing in the streets. You know who those are? The poor kids who have the least. Listen, you and I have been designed by God to add value, over deliver, give more than what you're compensated for, and your life starts to expand. How? Because Jesus gave us the principle. He said in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, a good measure. That's a measure is, you know, that's a quantity. So give. So out of the bucket of your life, he says, give from that. You want to be a good husband? Scoop in that. What do I do with my wife? Scoop in that. Here. Now back in the dump truck of blessing. Isn't that the way we do it? We're going to give a little bit and get it backed into us with great blessing. Lord says, oh, no, that's not how it works. Give liberally. And then he says, and I then will give to you in my measuring cup, pressed down, overflowing, and poured in. He says, this is the way kingdom giving works. It's reciprocal. Give more than you're compensated for, and you'll receive more than you can handle. Time is your big issue. I don't got time to start giving some of your time and notice something that happens. Your time will be much more fulfilling. Your time will be much more abundant. And you will even find you have extra time. Because why? Scripture says he gives rest to his kids. When you're running hard all the time, you don't get rest. I accomplish far more today than I did years ago, and I work less in the sense of hours pouring in. Why? Because I'm giving in specific things that I need to give and allowing other people to do their deal. I'm giving them opportunity. Do your thing. I support you in your thing. I'm not doing your thing for you. You do your thing. We're here to support you. And the beautiful thing is, just like with Ron and Brandy, what, you know, because before it was like, I don't want them to plant no church. I want them to stay here. They're diamonds. Don't let your diamonds go. Let your bronze go. 1,000,000 fourth placers. The gold is what you want to keep. Today it's like, nah. See, when you let them go, you get the Jason and the Cindy. And they get to come in. And then they get to grow. And then they get to do their thing. And then we all get to give. When we start to say, hey, I got mine and I can move on, you lose yours. It's a principle. And we're going to break this principle down. He says this, look, let's read it one more time. He says, give and it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, It will be measured to you. Giving is reciprocal, you guys. So how does the principle of give to receive work? Well, there's four of them, and we're going to cover two of them today because that's as far as I got in the first service, and you guys don't get a hit, even though we may have another minute or two. Plus, I want to add value to the Sunday school because when I keep you late, I'm not adding value to them. They look at me like, what? We've asked you a million times to do this. But old selfish Joe, he's got to get his points in. I'm not adding value. So today we're going to add value to them. They're going to say, Joe let you out on time? Joe is awesome. Why? Because I've added value to them. When you add value to people, they respond reciprocally to you. So he says this, number one, I've already shared it with you. Number one, the principle of give to receive works like this. When you give to the kingdom of God, God gives back. Treasure principle. Building your reward in heaven. There's a bunch of scriptures that talk about that. When you give, the kingdom of God gives to you. That's how it works. When you don't, as it's measured out, how you measure it out is what the kingdom measures to you. That's why I tell you guys, be faithful in what you do. Because why? You be faithful in little things. What does God do? He adds to it. He adds value. Why? If you're not faithful with the little, you add no value. Anybody can be unfaithful in the little. You don't even have to search for them. But to handle the little you have valuably, that's your life, first of all. Do you add value to your life? You don't add value to your life. Why would God give you other lives? I diminish my life all the time. Oh, great, have more people. Diminish their lives too. That's why you single people, do not hang out with someone that doesn't value their life. Well, he hasn't had a job for 9 years, but he says he's going to get one. I think he's a winner. That's a value issue right there. Yeah. Shooting low again, I see. Same thing with the guys for the chicks, you know. And if you guys that are in and gals that are in relationships, oh, I give my wife this much, but I expect tremendous returns. How's that working for you? Not at all. Yeah, makes sense. Why? Because you're violating a kingdom principle. So first one is, you give. When you give, the kingdom of God gives back. Simple. And that doesn't mean necessarily money. It means you get fulfillment. How many of us have helped anybody else? And that's why Scripture says it's better to, what, give than receive. Why? Because it gives you fulfillment. People that are in recovery and you sponsor and you do this and you do something, you give to someone, it fills you. You walk out and go, wow, that was awesome. Second principle, the business world gives back too. Because we all work. People do business with and refer business to those they know, those they like, and those they trust. Because they have experienced you giving more to them than they expected or paid you for. You've outdone yourself. That creates, wow, that person is good. I respect that. Wow, I want to refer business. Go to so-and-so. They will service your account amazing. I've experienced it. Last night, Teresa and I went to a restaurant, and we almost walked out. And yesterday was a bad day. But we went to this restaurant, and the hostess didn't even talk to us. Playing with the forks and napkins, wrapping some napkins up, doing her. Us, another couples were standing there, not even paying any attention to us. I even looked at Teresa. You want to go someplace else? Food is good. But it was like, I don't even refer anybody here. Let's go to a place that we knew of, that they fall over themselves serving you. That's the kind of place. That is where reciprocity takes place. Do that. There was this guy, story of this guy, who was a salesperson. He had to close an account. He had a quota to meet at the end of the month. He had about a week left. And he was panicking. He's been trying to land this big account. He even had a friend in the field, a lawyer. And he called the lawyer, who was also the lawyer for that firm, and he was trying to get him to plug those guys into him and give him the business. And he had been learning some of the same principles I'm teaching you guys right now about being a blessing and going above and beyond what you're compensated for. And he's trying to get this account. And finally, the guy responds to him and says, "Hey, buddy." And he goes, "Oh, man, how's it going?" He goes, "You know what? They're not going to give you the account. They need someone with more international experience. And you don't have that. They like you, but you don't have the experience in the world market that they need for this particular product that they're doing, so they're not getting." And he was devastated. And then he thought in his head, "I need to help these guys." He tells his lawyer friend, "Hold on a moment. Hold on a moment. I know a guy who can help you." And he started flipping through his little booklet of business cards. And he says, "That's the guy." He pulls out the card and he goes, "This guy, Tom, whatever his name is, this guy has great experience in the international market. And I trust him. He's a good guy. You should give him a call. I think he would fit perfectly." You know what that did? That created connection with his lawyer and connection with that other company that he didn't get the account, and he still did what was best for that company. He added value to that company far beyond what he was compensated for. And in this case, he didn't get any compensation. And then the lawyer was blown away. And the guy whose card he gave him was blown away because he won the account. He just connected, and we'll look at this one too. It creates network. Now he's got three people, a company, a lawyer, and another businessman who are on his side. He actually won because now he created people that would bless him back at some point in time. That's what it's all about. God says, "I'll pour back." You don't know how he's going to pour it back. But see, many of us, and I've done this before in the church world, "I would not give you. You need that? Oh, you didn't take me? Well, forget you. I wouldn't recommend somebody else to you because I would feel like I'm losing. I feel like I'm not getting the fair shake here. And I'd withhold." And that guy had a better mind. Today I have that mind. Back then I didn't. It was all about if they win, I lose. That's a loser mentality. You will pay great prices for that. Give beyond what you're compensated for, and it will be returned to you, pressed down. You can't service the account, turn them on to the person that can. And that person will look at you with favor. And when they have something, they'll reciprocate. Why? Even if they don't want to, they'll, "Oh God, I didn't want to give that out." Why? Because that's a law of the kingdom. Give and it will be given back to you. Why? Because the scripture tells us this: God maneuvers the kings as he wants to. He's in charge. Be a blessing and you will be blessed. Be a blessing to your detriment and you will be blessed. Love as you would want to be loved. Wouldn't you want people to look out for you? Look out for them and it'll come back to you. It always does. That's how it rolls in the kingdom of God. Paul tells us this in Acts 20:33. He says, I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. Which means, whenever you read something in Scripture, that means he had the chance to covet. Paul established, as many of us know, he established a number of churches in the Mediterranean area. And in those establishing of churches, he saw very wealthy people. And he says, I made it a point not to try to manipulate myself, coveting what they had. And in fact, he says this in verse 34, the very next verse. He says, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. I brought you the gospel. I saved your lives eternally. I introduced you to the God of all creation. And I didn't covet your stuff. I gave you far more than I was compensated for. And not only that, I worked. He was a tent maker. Not only that, I worked with my hands. I made tents in the mix of that. Not only for my upkeep, but for the people I brought with me. And I don't even look at that as a big burden, because I know my God will provide abundantly for my needs. Hey, Joe, didn't Paul get killed? Yeah. And we read about him today, 2,000 years later. See, God's work is far bigger. Ooh, Paul did get measured back to him fully. When you and I go to heaven, well, if you follow the Lord for any length of time, you will know who Paul is. They'll say, that's Paul. The other people, some of the people that get into heaven that was, you know, they trusted Jesus, they got in and they got nothing. It was all about them on earth. You go, who's that guy? And we go, I have no idea. Looks like the janitor up here. You get to make that choice. I take God at his word, man. Ladies. He says this, listen. Where am I at? He said, in everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words that the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He said, I made myself a giver because I understand the principle. I don't know how it's all going to work out. Just like this guy that referred to the lawyer, that referred to that company. By the way, I didn't tell you the end of that story. That same company had a much smaller but very lucrative part of that company that they said, you know what? That guy would be a huge blessing to this account. And they called him back and gave him an account that made him more money. That's how it works. That is how it works, my friends. Do we understand that? So here's what you can do. Here's your homework for this week. Ask the Lord, think about this. Ask yourself this question. What can I do to add more value to, you can name your relationship, your job, your employees, your employer. What can I do to add value? It's simple. See, you don't even have to have any skill set. You can keep doing what you're doing, but what can I do to add value? What can I do to add value to this church? What can I do to make it better? What can I do to add value to my spouse? What can I do this week that would add value to them? More. What's adding value? Doing more than what I'm compensated for. What can I do to that? Can you ask yourself that question? How many don't want to do that? Like, yeah, I'll pray about that. All right, repeat after me. Lord, how can I add value to my sphere of influence this week? Show me, and I'll do it. Amen. How many lied right then? Good, because we don't lie here. Baseline, truth tellers. All right, you guys have a great day. God bless you.